This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees at 7:35. Some residents in apartments at the Cabell-Huntington Coalition for the Homeless got an early Christmas present this week. Clark Davis has the story.
9 of the 54 efficiency-style apartments at the Vanity Fair space at the Coalition received heating and air units this week. The units that were picked were ones with heating and air units that currently have to be held together with a mix of different parts. The units came from Honeywell, a corporation specializing in technologies that include heating and air conditioning units. Bob Hansen is executive director of the Homeless Coalition.
This complex was built and renovated in 1992, and just maintaining it through the years is difficult. We're a small nonprofit, so we're living day to day. So this is just a big boost for us because the people that live here deserve the best living conditions, and that's what we're striving for.
Volunteers from Honeywell from all over the region came together to put in the 9 units. They uninstalled the older units. Then cleaned up. And then they installed the new single heating and air units in each of the 9 residents that were deemed to be the worst at the facility. Alexis Jewell is a resident at the facility.
My air conditioner and heater has not been working, so I have had cold air in the winter and hot air in the summer, and so it's greatly appreciated that the Honeywell Corporation has done this. It means a lot.
Jewel and the other residents are thankful for these units, especially since this winter has already seen dipping temperatures. Jewel has had a tough time since Hurricane Katrina.
It is very nice because I am from South Mississippi, so it's always colder than what I'm used to. And it helps me also because I try to cook a lot for the people here, so having it comfortable in my apartment is important.
Hansen says the 9 apartments were in desperate need of new units.
What we've been doing is just maintaining our old units. Really, they're very inefficient. What we've been doing is kind of taking units apart and moving parts and trying to keep things going. It's kind of like using Band-Aids to keep everything functional. So this is, a big step forward for us.
Hansen says it's about being there for the residents.
It shows that we care, and that's what we're trying to do. We've been trying to do a whole variety of activities for the people that live here to show them through a whole host of different ways that we care about them and that their lives are very important.
Hansen says it's important to provide a caring atmosphere year-round, not just around the holidays. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:38. Partly cloudy and cold today. Temperatures in the 20s and 30s. Windy with gusts of up to 40 miles per hour today. Clear overnight and cold with lows in the teens and 20s. For Thursday, mostly sunny and warmer. Temperatures in the 40s and 50s to near 60 degrees in the southern counties. Becoming cloudy Thursday night with lows in the 20s and 30s and remaining windy with gusts of up to 40 miles per hour. The outlook for Friday and Saturday, cloudy with a chance of rain both days with temperatures in the 50s and 60s.
Support provided by the Charleston Area Alliance, presenting Art Walk with the Masters Law Firm, offering local art for last-minute shoppers Thursday, December 19th. Details at charlestonartwalk.com.
It's been a busy year for Morgan County writer Jeannie Mosier. She's penned about 1,000 pages between 2 books. One is a fictionalized account of a Senate campaign Mosier worked on more than 20 years ago. The other is a re-release of Mosier's popular travel guide, Way Out in West Virginia. But as she told Cecilia Mason, there's a more user-friendly twist to this new edition.
Another edition of Way Out in West Virginia is coming out, and I do want to talk about that also. So Way Out in West Virginia, one of your more popular books, is coming out again, only differently.
That's right. This is the 4th edition, so we've expanded it. The full title is Way Out in West Virginia, A Must-Have Guide to the Wonders and Oddities of the Mountain State. And I have to say, it was really nice writing a book that everybody loves. Nobody criticizes it. In 15 years and 50,000 plus copies, I've never gotten a negative word. I've barely even gotten people to say, oh, well, you got this wrong. It was very well researched. In each edition, we've expanded it. We've put in more pictures. Of course, we've updated it. So what we did with this fourth edition is that we're making it an ebook, and we'll make it available so that people can load it on their devices, their phones, their Kindles, their iPads, so they can be traveling around the state and just link right into the website for something they've read about in the book. And I think Way Out, because of the kind of book it is made for what an ebook can do, which is allow you to explore the content of the book very easily and very quickly.
Give a scenario of how you see the ebook being used as someone travels around the state.
The way we set up Way Out was not as a traditional guidebook. It isn't like, oh, you come to Berkeley County and you turn left here and you do. We set it up in chapters, or I set it up in chapters. So there's a chapter on amazing architecture, and there's a chapter on great plumbing, and there's a chapter on remarkable collections. But in the back, we have an index by county. So someone decides they're going to go to the central part of the state, and they're going to go to Pocahontas County, and they're going to go to Randolph County. So they can go to the back of the book, and they can see all the things that are in Randolph County. They'll be able to click to the direct link either to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which would have a lot of information, or they can decide that in Randolph County, they really want to know about the Augusta Heritage Festival. And that's listed, and they click through to that, and they find out what those dates are. Or they can be driving down the road and say, okay, here we are, we're almost in Randolph County. Where are we going to go to eat tonight? And they look under Randolph County, or they go to the local food chapter and they find someplace that's right there.
Digitizing it sounds like it's going to make it way more usable.
I think so. Now, that doesn't mean that people won't get hard copies too. With Way Out, I would be inclined to say that there will be more people who would just want an ebook, which is fine with me.
Two new books are out now. Talk about this very large one you have in your hand right now.
This is Senate Magic. It's my first novel, sixth published book, and it actually was the first one I wrote. I wrote this in 1991, but the world simply wasn't ready for a female U.S. Senate candidate who had a magician as her prime consultant. 7 years later, Harry Potter made the world safe for magic. So by this point, the world has caught up, and I'm hoping that the story will catch on. Senate Magic is a very highly fictionalized version of a 1990 U.S. Senate race that I worked on, that the candidate was a longtime personal friend who was the congresswoman from Rhode Island, and she was running for the U.S. Senate. So I went up to work on her campaign and decided, well, I thought I'd write a book about it. One of the things I did, which is unusual in creating a character, is that the three main characters, I created authentic astrological charts for them so that their behavior would be consistent, so that I could time events. And once I did that, it was as if I breathed life into a clay figure, and they just took over. So basically, I got to pull all kinds of threads together. There's a lot of magic in the book, a lot of predictions, a lot of predictive devices, a lot of goddess lore. There's a lot of food. It's R-rated. There's some amazing sex in here. And a lot of politics, you know, real-life politics.
Well, Jeannie Mosier, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Cecilia.
Storyteller, playwright, and actress Karen Varanch of Beckley has toured internationally, sharing the area's rich Appalachian culture and history. Here she shares a favorite Christmas story based on a traditional Scottish ballad.
Long ago, in the mountains of southern West Virginia, lived a man by the name of Lockie McLaughlin. Direct from Scotland, he was. He and his wife, Laura, had come to the mountains to make a home for themselves and their family. They built a small log house. Wasn't very much at first. Just a small house enough to hold their growing family. There wasn't a loft for the children to sleep in. There wasn't a proper kitchen area. But it was enough. Laura had another child, and then another. And even when the 10th child came, Lockie McLaughlin held up the baby and said, "Oh, in this house, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more." They decided to have a Christmas celebration and invite all of their family and friends. Lockie's brother and his family lived on the next ridge over, and they came with all their children. Laura's aunt and cousin, once removed, lived in another part of the mountains, and they visited too with their families. The families came in bearing all sorts of food, all-day green beans and fried chicken and ham. There was chocolate cake, and people ate and ate and ate. They laughed, and when more people would come and visit, they'd say, "Come on in, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more." Travelers passing on the road would see the lights in the house and hear the merriment and glee and would knock on the door, and Lockie would say, "Come in, there's always room for one more. In this house, there's always room for one more." For a lumberjack coming down the road, having worked in the mountains all winter, saw the lights, and they came in too. "Come in," said Lockie. "There's always room for one more." An itinerant circuit rider preacher was walking down the road, not having made it back to the flatlands before snow fell. "Preacher Brown, come in the house. There's always room for one more." A carpenter, the miller, and a barrel maker too. Each one was invited in with as much hospitality as Lockie could muster. The people ate all the food there was to eat, and their bellies were groaning. But then the fiddle player started, and the banjo player started, and the dancing and the reels and the clogging began. The laughter rang out, and no one noticed this little house bulging at the walls, the rafters groaning, until suddenly there was a loud crack. Someone yelled, "The house is giving way!" People dove out of the windows. They jumped out the door. Preacher Brown skidded to a halt underneath the kitchen table for protection from the rafters falling about them. And when they stopped, they realized the house had fallen completely around them. No one said anything for a while. And then one of the lumberjacks called out, "Come on, boys, let's cut some trees. This man needs a new house." The carpenter got his saw and his hammer. Others got their tools, and the hammering and the shouting and the laughter started. Laura McLaughlin made a big fire, where she made a pot of coffee and cooked all night. She made a bed for the children under tents in the snow. They worked all night into the day, into the next night. And when they were done, there was a fine log house standing there. Lockie McLaughlin walked in the door and looked around. It was twice as big as his last house. A lovely little loft for the children to sleep in, and a nice kitchen area for Laura to cook the food. "This," he said, "is a house where there will always be room for one more." From then on, anyone who visited the mountains of southern West Virginia knew to stop at Lockie McLaughlin's house. He would open the door wide and say, "Come in, come in. There's always room for one more. In my house, there's always room for one more."
That's storyteller and actress Karen Varanch of Beckley. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.